Yo, and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addie and Mo. Hey, yo, I'm Addie.
Hey, yo, I'm Mo. Let's do it.
Do what?
The show.
The show.
Down there.
Down where?
Down there.
Yeah, down there is where tonight's pay-per-view, Money in the Skank, was.
Yeah, we will be talking about AJ.
Yes, we will.
Yeah.
And was AJ there?
I don't know. I mean, it's not like when she was in that match. They put the camera on her much or anything.
No, I didn't think so.
No.
Not every 5 seconds.
No. Not enough to miss some important spots the guys were doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, or anything like that.
Fuck.
Yeah.
So,
WWE.
So let's start off really quick with, I'd said to you, and to all of our loyal listeners last week, 3 out of 10. Did it beat that?
It did. I gave it 4.5 out of 10.
Yeah, that's actually where I was going to go as well. Was being 4.5. I think it well, again, we'll get into it, but it did. It was a little better than it. The main event was better than I expected it to be.
The main event was better than I expected. The opening Money in the Bank match was better, and the portion where AJ was not there of the Punk and Bryan match was fantastic.
Well, see, I was kind of expecting that, and I was expecting the Money in the Bank, actually, to be the SmackDown one to be a bit better, actually. But we'll go there. Let's start off. I had watched the YouTube pre-show as you were...
not here yet.
Not even leaving
as
yet.
As is my tradition on pay-per-views, I don't show up until the first match is over.
Yeah.
This pay-per-view, where it was so little motivation to really see it because they did a poor job selling it, I did show up at my normal 6:12 for the pay-per-view, so it was 12 minutes in. So the first match, unfortunately, not over.
What do you mean, unfortunately, though? The first match was the SmackDown Money in the
Bank
when
true.
I saw that.
I wasn't expecting that. I was expecting the opening match to be the world title match.
Yeah.
And that's kind of why I was thinking that. So
when I saw that, I actually smiled. I'm like, haha, you're going to miss the only good match. It was Kofi Kingston and R-Truth against Hunico and Camacho. Nothing really there. Kofi and Truth.
Air Jimmy won.
Yeah, Air Jimmy won. They did
let's go to this.
Two minutes in the match, Hunico's music started to play again, so that was nice.
No, maybe they wanted to restart the match. It's possible.
It is very, very possible.
They missed a spot. They forgot they're not on tape.
That's true.
Let's to this point, this is called Money in the Bank, or MITB. But you have given it another name, MITWGAF.
Yes.
What does that stand for?
Money in the Who Gives a Fuck.
And that was this match.
Yes.
Actually, that really was the whole show, because they had done such a poor job selling it.
It was. And then we go to, as I said, the opening contest. Was the SmackDown Money in the Bank match with Dolph Sandow, Sin Cara, Christian, Cody Rhodes, Tenzai, Tyson Kidd, and Santino Marella.
Okay, so we said that only one of two men had a chance to win it. So which one of those two was either going to be Rhodes or it was going to be Ziggler? So
right.
Which one of those two won it?
And Ziggler won. Ziggler did win.
Money in the Who Gives a Fuck.
Yeah, and I mean there was some spots and. And
there were some cool spots. There was a who was it?
Ziggler. Lord Tenzai threw Ziggler into the announcer's chair.
Yeah,
he flipped upside
down.
Down. It was
lifting,
like, whoa.
Was crazy.
So he's actually lucky that he landed on the chair part because
But really, that was more him than it was Tenzai, right? It was more him jumping than it was Tenzai throwing him.
Yeah.
It's just that Ziggler being Ziggler.
Yeah.
There was the spear off the ladder. I think it was to Sandow. I'm not sure if it was Sandow. Who was it to?
What? The Christian did?
Yeah.
It was Cody Rhodes.
It was to Cody, okay.
Yeah. Tenzai powerbombed Sin Cara through a table and through a ladder, and the ladder didn't break, so it kind of bounced. Sin Cara and Ziggler botched the spot. It looks like Ziggler tripped, but Sin Cara decided he was going to do the move anyway. Why wouldn't you? And Tenzai fucked something up with Santino.
Santino, this was stupid. Santino, who went up to the top of the ladder.
Oh, yeah.
Later on, as he was climbing to the top of the ladder and had a chance, nobody around him, everybody else is down, to grab the briefcase, all of a sudden he was afraid of heights. But the Cobra wasn't. So he put the Cobra on. The Cobra was going up and carrying him up. Because what we need is in a Money in the Bank match that's going to lead to possibly a world title reign.
Possibly.
Possibly.
Oh.
Well, it's probable.
Was that
Tenzai? And it's possible, oh. But it's not guaranteed.
That Tenzai was talking about.
That was on purpose. But it's possible that it's going to lead to a world title change.
Like,
it's in the dictionary. You can look it up. It's possible. You know, you almost got me saying it wrong. This will lead, anyways, we had comedy that we did not need. It took away the importance.
Just now, that wasn't comedy.
That wasn't. It took away the importance of the Money in the Bank.
The Money in the Bank. Yes.
Match.
Well,
do that in the middle of it. So especially so
and as we were talking while we were watching the show, I mean, my big beef of it was that he was just fucking up there like 3 minutes ago with Christian, and now he's afraid.
Yeah.
Like, that was just retarded.
It was stupid.
I mean, it was going to be stupid regardless. But the fact that he was just up there made
it stupid.
Just the stupidest.
Yeah.
So anyway, Ziggler wins. I think the right guy won and said him or Cody. I would have had either way. Would have probably. I figured Cody was kind of a personal preference because he hasn't eaten. He hadn't eaten 742 brogue kicks in the last month.
But I said that feeds into the story though.
It does.
It does feed into the story. He can't beat this guy legit, so he's going to use the...
So he's going to beat him...
The heel, hashtag heel, is going to use the hashtag heel that everybody cheered.
Right.
He's going to use the briefcase.
Anyway, then we have a stupid Sheamus
did
interview.
Did he look fuckable, you mentioned?
Yes, he did. She did. She was very good.
Yeah. And,
Anyway, Sheamus then...
This would not be the last match time that we saw Ziggler. We'll just say that.
Okay. Sheamus does an interview. Something retarded about cars, and he's beating up a clunker, and is gonna have spare parts.
Yeah, he's not like the.
Stupid.
He's not like the Mercedes. He's more like the beat up old beater, jalopy that Archie drives around that just keeps going and never stops.
Yeah.
You can always count on.
Yeah, a writer justified his existence by Sheamus doing this, and that.
This was a long, overly scripted, phony sounding promo. Yeah. This was. I looked at you right after, and I said that this was not as good as the 30-second promo that the guy who was a jobber in the X Division, Dakota Darso, did on Ion, or what's his name?
Zema Ion.
Impact this week. This was inferior to that. And this was on pay-per-view with the world champion. So this is really shitty.
Yeah.
That was good, though, by you. But this was shitty.
Yes. Now, and the Miz is back. He's got a new haircut. And he said he's in the Money in the Bank now.
Yeah, a little less goofy haircut, and I hope it just means he's back for this one night and he'll fuck off again, because he was useless.
Yeah. Then we had the World Heavyweight Championship match with Sheamus and Alberto Del Rio. Sheamus won with that, what do they call the,
Broke kick.
No, but he did the Emerald Fusion. What does he call that?
White Noise.
Yes. You won with that.
Yeah, basically, Del Rio carries the match, has the majority of the offense. The babyface fights through everything to get the win.
Yes.
It's the story, and then afterwards, Del Rio...
Well, Ricardo jumped
Ricardo,
him.
Yeah.
And then, they beat on him.
They beat the shit out of him, the two-on-one afterwards. And then, all of a sudden, you hear somebody's music.
Yes. So Dolph Ziggler comes in to cash in his Money in the Bank.
Leading to one of the best facial expressions ever by Ricardo. Or no, by Del Rio.
Alberto, yes.
Yeah.
He's just kind of a drunken Mexican passed out on the lawn was kind of the look.
Yeah, like what? Like, I did all the work and you're going to cash in on me?
Yeah.
They kind of interfered a little bit in the cash in. But
yeah, they kind of argued, going, what are you doing? He said, it's my time, I'm going to cash it in. This allows Sheamus to recover, give a brogue kick to Ziggler before the bell rings, as Michael Cole points out. So the cash-in was not official. So
which was, because as we're watching it, we're thinking he's cashing in, and they're taking it away from him immediately, was what it looked like. And that would have fit in with what they do with Ziggler, because they love to bury him.
Right, but
they didn't do that.
They didn't do that, and I'm going to kind of wait and see on this, because we talk about... you know, how they like to bury Ziggler, and they do. But, you know, they also liked to bury The Miz, and they also liked to bury Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
And both got their chances with it, so...
Yeah, oh yeah, no, they love to bury somebody and then give them the title.
Bury them! But I don't see that as being as big of a deal. And then we'll get on to
the... Anyways, the match of the general rule was just slow and nobody was really into it, and not a very good match. Just didn't ever click.
Yeah.
The chemistry wasn't good.
No.
So now you had a Money in the Bank, which was average, not terrible, but average.
Mm-hmm.
And you had a pretty poor world title match.
Yeah.
Leading to?
Well, speaking of the crowd not being into it, the primetime players come out in an unannounced match against Primo and Epico. AEW had a microphone.
But only after Kofi and Truth came out to.
Well, they're doing commentary, yeah.
Yeah, to nobody, everybody going, why are they there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then.
They came out in suits.
Well, at first their music hit, and we're like, they already wrestled the pre-show, so what the fuck?
Yeah, then they came out in suits. Truth in a suit is worth the money of the pay-per-view. That was in a unique sight.
With a do-rag.
Yeah.
As Booker T pointed out.
Yeah.
But the thing was, the crowd just, I mean, this match was great.
Really, everything was done right. The heels were incredibly unbearable and annoying and cocky and aggressive and cheating. And the baby faces were straight out of Rock and Roll Express. Sell, 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 high spot, high energy comeback. Epico looked good. Primo looked amazing tonight. Just crisp.
I thought
all his moves.
I thought Rosa looked amazing.
Yeah, that too, but in a different way.
With her new tattoo.
Well, that didn't look so good. No. But you know, generally, like this, they did everything right. They wrestled it right. The psychology was right. Everything was right. Nobody gave a fuck.
No, I said this was the coldest tag that I'd ever seen. They beat up Epico, beat up Epico, beat up Epico, beat up Epico. And then finally he got the tag over to, you know, they do the whole spot where, you know, the heel finally makes over the tag and the babyface crawls over and makes the tag and Primo comes in and is a house of fire,
yeah,
a la Ricky Martel and Strike Force, and nobody gave a fuck.
No, and everything was done right, and the match was very good.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because they've told us that it's a tag team match and the guy's in it.
Yeah.
Even if the match is good, even if they actually have a issue with each other to settle, like these guys did this time, they've made it so that the division is lower mid-card guys and means so little that nobody can give a fuck about the match.
Oh, I don't think it's the division. I just think it's the guys.
I think it's the division.
It's not the division.
I think people
have
been told the whole thing doesn't matter. Well, those guys they've been told don't matter up until now.
That's what I mean. That to me is the thing. And whether it was a six-person match or a tag team match in the tag team division, it doesn't fucking matter because nobody gives a fuck about any of the four what they've been taught.
Well, they don't give about anybody in the tag team division at all. Nobody cares about anybody in that division.
No, that's right. And they care, I mean, because they care about Truth and Kofi, but they care about them as you know, because they've got a little longevity in singles, right? They're not tagged.
Yeah, exactly. They would probably, I think Kofi was getting probably a better babyface reaction as when he's a singles guy than he is in the tag team. Not only that, but I did say this before, that there was a point when, like, the New Age Outlaws were getting no reaction.
Right.
Right? And then they obviously turned around, we're getting massive reaction.
And they stuck with it, yeah.
Yeah. I don't necessarily have that sense. This is going to turn around.
But the other thing was, is when you're looking at the New Age Outlaws and the, you know, what they were doing is that they were going up against, like, the Legion of Doom and Terry Funk and Cactus Jack. You know, going into it, and then they become over, not as even as tag team champions per se, but as people in DX, and that DX part was really what was over. And right now, nothing's over.
No.
So that's the reason that I don't see. You know, you could stick with it and stick with it and stick with it, but unless something on top turns around, then no one's going to be getting a reaction here. That said, I mean, I wouldn't change a thing about this match other than the finish.
I wouldn't either.
The Primo and Epico
actually
won.
Actually, I wouldn't change the finish either. You see, you think the wrong team won because you think there's more money in the
millions
prime
of dollars.
Players.
Millions of
and
dollars.
And you also think they're getting the title shot, but that leads into me to the idea of trying to rebuild the entire division. Is these guys are the number one contenders, they're heels, you got babyface champions, and you got these guys who were former champions who got screwed, and this leads to the idea of the division is competitive. Anybody can win. It's competitive and hard fought. So that's why I did not mind this. It's storyline-wise, they can go somewhere with it. And the primetime players did get out of the ring afterwards and have a good little incident with
But if we're looking at this in terms of you're talking competitive nature, okay, if I'll go college football, let's say, right?
Okay.
If the number one ranked team in college football loses to the number four ranked team, are they still the number one ranked team?
No.
See, and that's kind of
where. Or in UFC.
Yeah, or in UFC, or
I've
in
seen
boxing,
guys who are getting
in...
a title shot, who take one more they take one more boxing or whatever.
Yeah.
They take one more warm up fight and lose, and never get it.
Yeah,
this is wrestling.
I know, but that's
and just... they made an issue of that. It doesn't matter. We're still number one contenders anyway, since we won that round.
Yeah, and
They shouldn't be saying we're number one contenders. They should be saying we still get a title shot because we won that right. That doesn't sound as stupid.
Well, that's kind of where I'm going with it, is if that match was the winner of that match will get a title shot, that's fine. It's just when you say the winner of this match are the number one contenders, it's like, okay, until what? Until when? They have to keep winning then to stay the number one contenders. And that's kind of what I was looking at. If that's the way you're going to play it, then
way they played it. We've seen guys who are number one contenders for a title shot getting a title shot on a Sunday, lose on Friday Night SmackDown right beforehand to somebody.
No, I'm not saying that it's right. I'm just saying that that's what the way I look at, you know, just because they've done it before doesn't mean it's right.
But if they had said, you're right, if they had said these guys get a title shot, that would have been better, and the primetime players could have cashed in the title shot right after Crime Time cashes in theirs.
They did cash in theirs, finally. Crime Time did.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, it was like 3 years later. They lost. And then after the match, the primetime players turned their attention over to the announce table where Kingston and Truth were, and R-Truth threw water all over AW, and then they had to pull away...
The crowd reacted to the one he got the water all over him.
Well, like they reacted to the way that he got water, the way that they reacted to fucking Bam Bam Bigelow getting confetti poured on him by fucking Doink the Clown. It was that stupid.
I don't know. I can say this, while the crowd was not into this, they did pop pretty good for the pin when Epico and Primo got the pin. And I think that's because
they reacted. They did pop really good.
The reason why is because everybody assumed the primetime players were winning because they're getting the title shot. Everybody assumed that. So I think that's the reason why people went, oh, they won. It was like a surprise reaction.
Wow, great. That made more money. Next we had CM Punk against Daniel Bryan with AJ as the special guest referee.
After a video package that went about a half hour.
Yes. Well, they had to recap the whole story.
Yeah.
And they recapped it from a little bit before WrestleMania.
But didn't they have, first they had an interview with AJ that I hated? Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
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 Anyway, they asked about, Matt Stryker asked AJ about shit, and then she said that, even though CM Punk broke her heart and shattered her life and da-da-da-da-da, doesn't mean he's not a great, wonderful person. And Daniel Bryan was her first true love that was just trying to manipulate him, though. Manipulate her and for his own career. And that was basically it.
Yeah.
You know.
It was awful.
Yeah. And then...
And then there was the match.
The match. And the match started off...
awful.
Kind of awful. Now, Daniel Bryan... no longer with the Yes jacket, or any...
But in his interview earlier in the night, he was wearing the Yes shirt.
That's right, but that was it. That was on the pre-show as well, and nothing, no Yes shirt, to the ring, nothing Yes on him. Basically, it was a combination of, he said he may have worn this in Ring of Honor. It was basically like a combination of, it's basically like an army fatigue type coat with like pseudo kind of red blood coming out of it, and
it looked
and
like gunshot wounds and stuff.
Yeah,
like that.
And his tights matched.
Yeah.
So, who knows what they're doing there?
I don't think they're doing anything. I think you're reading too much into it. He still sent the whole match. Every time he did a kick or a chop or anything, he said yes, and the crowd either said yes or no depending on the thing. He's a heel. It was fine. You're looking too much at it.
No, a compounding, as I said, of what I talked about last week with them making Yes the WWE chant and not the Daniel Bryan chant.
Well, no, because if that was the case, fucking 5 or 6 matches, people would be saying it. Only Daniel Bryan says it in the match.
Yeah, Daniel Bryan says it.
Yeah.
But the promotional vehicle of the WWE has nothing to link Daniel Bryan, and yes, he was doing it himself.
Early, if Titantron said yes, yes, yes.
Oh.
He wore the shirt earlier in the night.
Yeah.
That was on the pay-per-view.
Right, but the rest of it, as I said, they're just getting away from
it's
him.
One
and, yeah.
Night, one time. Let's
okay,
see where it
yeah,
goes.
Okay, yeah, okay. Well, we'll mark this on our little calendar. One night, one time. So anyway, so the match gets going. They basically
another stuff is cooler anyway. So who cares?
There was a couple of moves that they did, but you wouldn't know because the camera was on AJ.
Yes, and this was awful, and the crowd was not into it. The only thing they were into chanting yes
and
or
no.
No.
Yeah, exactly.
They were into chanting that. They weren't into the match. They were into that chant.
Right.
Until AJ takes a bump, leaves the ring, the guys start having a fucking fantastic match.
Yeah,
phenomenal match.
Brian knocks Punk into AJ.
Yeah.
And she leaves.
She gets carried out because it was such a devastating bump that we've seen people take 1,000 times and get right up from.
Yeah. Yeah, it didn't look. It wasn't bad at all. I think of like when Elizabeth got knocked off and how she made that look.
Yeah.
And yeah, this is nothing like that. This is just your average bump off the
apron. Especially gone for the next 15 minutes. These guys are fantastic.
They're having a great
match.
And
the crowd is really into it.
Yeah.
And then AJ came back out. Sent out the referee that was there.
Yeah.
And the crowd got quiet again.
Yeah. And then, well, and they were both down on either corners in the ring. And AJ comes back in, sends the ref out, and then skips in a circle around the ring. And then she gets out of the ring and grabs a chair from underneath the ring, holds it up, puts it in the middle, looks at both guys who are looking at her, drops the chair in the middle of the ring, and has this grin on her face and walks back.
Yeah,
like,
she's manipulating
like
the guys
like she's the
now.
Fucking puppet master.
Yeah,
exactly.
Well, which is what she is. And now she wants to have both these guys, who she hates, she's concerned with them, beating the shit out of each other as her revenge.
Right.
That's the kind of the thing.
Yeah.
And it sucks.
Yeah.
And it just leads to a bunch of other spots, like...
Yeah, she blocked the Punk was setting up a chair in the corner to ram Brian into, and AJ stood in front of it, not letting him do it. So then Brian put Punk in there, and then Brian goes for a kendo stick that's in the ring later. And part of it, when AJ was gone, was they did get a kendo stick, and they beat the shit out of each other with it.
Oh, yeah, no, this was awesome. It was apparently a no-DQ match, as it had been advertised.
Yes, as had been advertised at about 3 hours before the show.
Yeah, on Twitter.
Via their, whatever, text messaging service or whatever.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Fucking idiot.
Yeah. But, well, I mean, who cares? It didn't really matter.
They're probably laying out the match and go... You know what? This will be better and easier to do.
Yeah. Wow. But, I mean, exactly. And
tweeted out.
It didn't matter. And it really didn't matter. It wouldn't have sold any more fucking buys, so who gives a fuck? But the thing was...
Nobody. It's money in the who gives a fuck.
Money in the who gives a fuck. But anyway, Brian goes for a kendo stick, and AJ steps on it, not letting him use it. And so she fucked both men over. In the end...
Oh, over.
Yeah. In the end,
in the end, it appeared that she was kind of, in the end, favoring Daniel Bryan slightly. Though she always seemed to get, she always had this switching back and forth between kind of a loving watching these two, smiling, manipulative little bitch look, loving them beating the shit out of each other, to worried, uh-oh, this is going too far. I don't want to see these guys get hurt. So she was switching back and forth when the camera was on her, you know, and we were missing spots again.
Yes. And basically the end come is they set up a table.
Slightly favored Daniel Bryan.
Yeah. They set up a table, and Punk gave Bryan a back suplex through it and got the 1-2-3. And, you know, AJ just kind of stood there. I don't know. The look she had to me was kind of, she was pissed off that, like, he won, but, like, whoever won, she didn't have anything to do with it, you know what I mean? Like, she looked pissed off that, oh, you won, and it wasn't because of me.
Yeah, basically, yeah. Yeah, but when the time came, she did the count without any hesitation or anything. She just, you know,
yeah,
counted him. So, whatever. It was not terrible. Like, it's a funny match because it's not terrible. There's enough really good stuff. And yet there was a lot of stupid sports entertainment that slowed the pace down.
Yeah, I can't remember a match. I can't really remember a match like this where they had sports entertainment that completely fucked up, as we were talking about before, Brian Gewirtz being the genius that was able to fuck up Daniel Bryan versus CM Punk.
Yeah.
And then they were able to take her out for whatever it was, 10, 15 minutes,
yeah.
And it just be really great.
It was awesome.
And then immediately when she come back, you get back to your little sports entertainment.
They got boring.
Right? So,
and
I mean,
the final spot was a cool spot.
Yeah.
It looked like Punk shit himself or something. Like, I don't know what that was all over him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what
or
the
Brian did, but the final punk, spot through the table.
Was Sid there?
not this spot.
No. But I don't know. It's, yeah, just one of those stupid sports entertainment-y things. That said, I would give it sort of a, like I said, this is the reason that we went from basically like a 3.5 to a 4.5 in my eyes, because that match or...
Well, and the main event.
And the main event
and
as well.
Legitimately thought this would be the main event, but I forgot John Cena's in another match.
Well, yes,
that match
was
also
it
better.
It would not have
it,
surprised
so.
Me, though, that you go
great.
Off
like,
with
I
AJ,
give
it right?
like 2.75, right? I guess, you know.
Now, here we go again, though, with, you know, Punk, again, not headlining a pay-per-view.
Exactly.
You know? So
overshadowed again.
Yeah. So
and I expect that will play up into the upcoming storyline.
I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the next match, Ryback against Hawkins and Rex. Not a two at the same time, but they had to tag in and out match. This
Ryback had to sell for the first time.
I was gonna say the story of this match is that Ryback got actually put onto his back, had to sell, took some offense, eventually won.
A light Goldberg chance. The only noise in this was light Goldberg chants, and then complete silence. Nobody gave a shit till the match was over. A few people got it to the same people. The same light Goldberg chants, I think, were the same people chanting "Feed Me More."
Yeah, there was a little bit of "Feed Me More," but not a lot.
But yeah, shitty.
Yeah.
He's not good when he sells, or when he's on offense, or
when he's walking to the ring. When he's leaving the ring, he's great.
Awesome.
Yeah.
We know it's over.
That's right.
Yeah.
He's over for that. And then we had a six-chick match.
We skipped it.
Layla, Caitlin, Snuka against Phoenix, Natty, and Eve. Yeah, we had the on the PVR, we had to pause a couple times just, I don't know, when the pizza came or whatever we did. And so luckily there was enough time built up in terms of this that we were able just to click over and go live
the whole
to
match.
Seeing
yeah.
Layla be...
So we saw Layla celebrating.
Yeah. So they won.
Yeah.
Best match on the night.
Probably the best match so far, the match that we skipped.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, probably the one I enjoy. I don't know if it's the best, but it's the one I enjoyed the most.
Enjoyed the most. That's probably a good way to put it.
Yeah.
Cena, Big Show, Miz, Kane, Jericho, Money in the Bank. Miz, of course, added to the match tonight.
Yes, and the Miz, who gives a fuck?
Yes, yes. But, it was a really, I mean, it was a good match, I thought.
It was a good match.
You
it
know,
was a good match. It was match of the night, maybe?
Yeah,
it was probably 3 stars.
I think it was the match.
From what I saw, the SmackDown was 2.75, and the WWE Championship was 2.75, and the World Championship was 2, maybe 2.25.
I was going to say, I think that...
And then, like, the women's match was 0 stars, and the Primetime Players, whatever match, was probably 2.5.
I thought
a lot
that,
of average are bad here.
Yeah, but I thought that...
Ryback was 0. Not his test. His test did not come back as 0.
No. 0 to what? But I think that of the two Money in the Bank matches, this was the better of the two.
Yeah,
I
it was a better story.
Personally, I think I liked it. I mean, I definitely liked it start to finish more than the Punk Bryan. You know, Punk Bryan, I think, for that middle part, was probably better than anything in this match. But it had to start at the beginning, you know what I mean? So I think this overall was
the best
match.
But then it
had
AJ.
Yeah.
She just can't stand anymore.
Yeah.
She's just on so much. It's too much. She's just annoying. She's taking over storylines and ruining what's important. And I just can't stand her. So it hurts. The whole fucking deal.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, I mean, I think that, like I say, I give this three stars, and that's maybe even 3.25.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good match.
It is a pretty good profession.
And here's the thing, not a lot of crazy stunts. Like, there was a few really, really things that looked like that fucking hurt.
Well, when, yeah, Kane got slammed into Miz on the ladder. Miz looked like he was, like,
dead. He was like, holy fuck, did that hurt.
Yeah.
There's a few times, there was a bump that Jericho took on his elbow. I thought he, like, was acting like that fucking, you know, he landed a little off. He's like, fuck, I really jammed my elbow.
Yeah.
But it's not, you know, injury. It's just something that hurts. And there was a few of those.
There's a few. And I mean, see, and show.
More of this was about good storytelling.
Yeah. And yeah, that's what it was, is that they were telling a story. And show come up and when he basically, one of the things was is that show got the FU through a table.
Yeah.
And then Kane just threw a ladder on him.
Yeah.
And everybody else threw ladders on show. And so they basically buried him underneath ladders, was the deal.
Yeah.
And that was to take show out of the match. Well, then they kept fighting and doing what they were doing. And the spot, I guess, towards the end, some of the finishing sequences was Jericho put a sleeper hold on
Cena
on his back while Cena was climbing the ladder.
Yeah.
And it was getting towards the end enough that I was thinking that this might be Super Cena with Jericho on his back getting the money in the bank. But that wasn't the case. There was a valiant effort where he was fading, and then rather than the two arms dropping and him hulking up, he just kind of faded there for a minute and then started to climb the ladder again while being in the sleeper hold.
And then he drops down. And
then he falls down.
Jericho's almost about to grab it, and then Miz is at the top of the ladder with
yeah,
him.
Yeah, and then he...
And they have a good little showdown where Jericho's, like, hanging off the ladder.
Yeah, he's hanging off the money in the bank thing, yeah.
Finally, he fights off Miz, and I'm thinking, I think Jericho might win. They did a good job making me think somebody... Other than, I thought Big Show was going to win it, you thought Cena was going to win it. They did a good job of making other people seem like they might actually win it. Like, when Miz got up there for that moment, there was that moment of, hey, maybe they will go with Miz.
Yeah.
And then when he falls down... they are going with Jericho. And then I look over, and it's like Jericho's face-to-face with Big Show on the top of the ladder now.
Yeah.
And he had the best facial expression.
He
did. Oh, fuck.
And then, boom, and then he just took that knockout punch.
Knockout punch.
And then Miz took a knockout punch.
In here, dude.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
And he took another...
Fucker.
A knockout punch. You don't have to be afraid of it.
I'm not afraid of it. I want to kill it, though. I'd prefer not to get bit.
Why?
Well, when your mom did it, I also got a disease.
That's true. That's true. You have malaria now. But I think that Miz took the knockout punch, and then Big Show went and got this, like, super ladder.
Yeah.
From under the ring, and he had trouble lifting it. It was so...
It looked like it was a legit 250-pound ladder.
Yeah, yeah.
It was, like, black. It was extra wide. The steps were huge.
Double deep.
Yeah, that's what they did a lot of the
double wide
stuff.
Double deep.
Double wide, double deep.
Ladder for Yokozuna to... No?
Oh, yes. There you go.
But, and then so then Show climbs up, and then Super Cena is back and meets the Big Show at the top, who they start having a fight. Cena goes to grab... Show goes to punch Cena, who blocks it with the briefcase.
Because
you had said, oh, that big dent from fucking bashing him over the head. Well, I think that was from the punch.
Well, there was the second one that came at the end, though, that was from hitting him in the head.
And then he, then Cena starts whacking him with it, and then he keeps hit him, and then finally it actually breaks off.
Which it wasn't supposed to do.
It wasn't supposed to do. I mean, Cena was still supposed to win, but... Yeah. He won just a couple seconds early.
Yeah.
So basically, he was basically supposed to hit Show. Show was supposed to fall, and then he gets it.
Yeah,
well,
basically
he
breaks off, and he's sitting there holding it. So he hits Show on the head, flushing the head hard two more times. And like I say, that's the equivalent of a chair shot. It should be a fine. I'm sure it won't be. And that's money in the bank.
I told you, he did
and
not.
Then, and then he basically celebrated like the biggest dork in the world, and celebrated forever.
Yeah, so we made that the picture because that was tremendous. But he, I don't know. It was, the end to basically what we thought it was going to be, right?
Yeah, I guess,
the Cena winning and, whatever. that the match itself was good. As we said, I think the overall show would be about a 4.5 out of 10. I wouldn't recommend seeing this at all.
No.
But
don't buy the replay.
Don't buy the replay.
Don't watch Raw.
Don't download.
If I had to say what was better, this or the previous Raw, this was way better.
Oh, this is way better than that, yeah.
This is a 4.5 out of 10. It is way ahead of what Raw
was. The thing was, again, here we are with Monday Night Raw tomorrow, and we really, not that you would expect anything from Money in the Bank to culminate things, but we really have nothing new.
No, Daniel Bryan looks like he's done with Punk. It looks like it's going to be Punk and Cena, most likely at SummerSlam, where Cena will cash this in, which means that AJ will have a crush now on Cena
right.
and flirt with him, and he will be the other resilient babyface who resists her, and she will also then play into that storyline, and that will suck, and that will get what they want, which is John Cena with AJ, so they can have what they see as their two biggest stars together. And you know what? It's going to blow. And John Cena also, now that he's divorced, can fuck her.
Yes. Well, the thing was...
That's okay.
Is, yeah. Yeah. Well, better Cena than you.
Yeah.
You'd kill her.
I would.
But the thing is...
Well, maybe twice.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Or tickled, at least, with your penis.
Yeah.
But the...
I still have all 3 inches down there.
The thing is with...
Gag on that, baby.
There you go.
Sorry. Broke you up in the middle of your thought.
And now it's gone forever. But I just think that I just had a really, even a more revolting thought than what you just said, was there's going to be a new general manager
yeah.
on the Raw 1000 show.
Yeah. AJ?
AJ.
Oh, fuck me. If they do that, I am also done.
Yes. See, where I think it should be JR.
They'll think it should be
they
AJ.
They think it should be AJ. Yes, I'd even take AW. But, yes, no, I just had that very, very horrifying thought, so... which isn't out of the realm of possibility, sadly. But I don't know, I guess, do you keep... Yeah, I guess maybe that's what you do, is you have... Cena and Punk and AJ in this whole big thing,
yeah.
Where it should be against the whole, you know, overshadowing story. It again is going to just be the Cena show or the AJ.
My question is, where do they go with Daniel Bryan now that he's out of the title picture? It appears for a little while.
Well, I think he goes off with Keith Mark and does a hunting show. With Shawn Michaels, as his tights would suggest.
Yeah. Seriously, what do you do with him?
Huh? I have no idea. Christian?
Christian over on SmackDown?
You go down.
It doesn't matter. Well, do brands or don't they?
They don't.
They apparently do on this. I don't know. Yeah, Christian, Sin Cara.
Whatever you do, though, again, it's... Randy Orton comes back. I go with Randy Orton.
Actually, that's good.
Get him not to go back down the card, you see.
Well, but it's impossible not to. That's how it goes now. Now you go back down the card for a little while, and then you come back up. Sometimes you don't come back up like Christian, but usually you do.
No, I know, but I'm just saying that Randy Orton or Rey Mysterio would be who I would book him with.
Yeah, that sounds good to me. All right, okay, cool. I think we're done with that. Now, WWE announced, you already talked about this, they announced a video service.
Yes, they did. They
talk a little bit about this here and what we're going to do next.
Well, they are, they have put, and I don't know how much money they put in. They were a large backer. They were, I think, one of, if not the largest, there was a group, a conglomerate of people that put, I believe the amount was $13.5 million. 30.5 into this new company or video service called Tout. And you heard, I think there was a commercial, was there not, on
there
the pay-per-view?
There was a commercial tonight, and there'll be one or two tomorrow on Raw.
I think there was one on SmackDown as well for Tout. And all Tout is, or what Tout is...
Touted out.
It's touted out. It's a 15-second video where you can just you know, say, hey, I'm having bacon and eggs right now. It's really good. Bye.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You can do that. Basically, if you think to yourself, what you're doing with Twitter is only 140 characters
mm-hmm.
and barely enough time to get a message across.
Yeah.
How does the exact same thing, but now it's with video.
It's the video version. It's like, yeah, it's like, it's basically reading a tweet.
Yeah, exactly. Basically, if you were to say that, it would be 140 characters, and this is the exact same thing. You have 15 seconds, say your thing. But WWE wants you to count them. And so we're going to fucking do that.
So, yeah, so we've got it all set up. I have downloaded the Tout app into my iPhone.
And it's not working.
It's, yeah,
so we're going to do it on the computer.
Yes.
We're going to go, we signed up for an account, and we're going to right now tout to the WWE regarding Raw, the product, Money in the Bank, Addy. We're going to do this live on the air.
Yes.
We're going to send this shit to them.
We are.
So, everybody, we're doing this for you.
All right.
Let's go.
So, here we are. We've got the bags are packed. We're ready to go. So, let's hit it. Tout it. Hey, WWE, fuck you. $54.95 for Money in the Bank. Fuck you, I want my money back, assholes. And that's 15 seconds. So.
and yes, we really did that, and we're really sending this right now. Actually, Addy really did that. I was going to go in a whole other direction. I was going to say, your product is driving away your core audience.
Well, that was my tout. I'll let you do a tout next. Let me just hit submit. Submitting. Congratulations, your tout is uploaded and will be viewable in about one minute.
Oh, that's not good, because that is on my Facebook, I think.
I don't know, because we did this not through Facebook, so.
Oh, okay. I hope not.
No, we didn't do it through your Facebook. You're fine.
I really didn't
don't
want
be a
that
pussy.
On there. Oh, no, I really didn't want that on my Facebook. I hope that doesn't go on your Facebook if it's going through Tout. But I hope it does get to WWE. I don't want to say anything else. You said it all, man. I can't top that.
What? Well, you don't want to tout something?
No, you just did.
Okay, but you can do your own tout now.
I can't top that.
Well, no, of course not. Nobody could. I'm tremendous.
Why don't you just tout something else out about Money in the Bank then, and WWE? You do it again.
Okay, ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
You don't want to say anything?
I'll say something.
Okay.
You're driving away your core audience, WWE. It's disappointing. We're recording We Talk Wrestling, and we thought we'd send you this out. And, Addy, what do you have to say?
Fuck you. You are cocksuckers. See, then you just hit submit.
I just uploaded, and I hope that's not on my Facebook.
Congratulations, your tout is uploading, and will be viewable in about 1 minute.
Oh, no. Anything specifically you want to send to, I don't know, John Cena?
No.
Okay.
I think that was it. That was our tout experience.
And now we can get rid of this app off your iPhone, because we never plan to use it again.
Why not?
And that's not true. We will not probably
the WWE is going to ask us to tout things quite a bit.
and we are
going to have to oblige Vince McMahon.
You have other things to call the WWE.
Yes.
Yes.
So there you go.
You're going to tell them where their money in the bank actually can be.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That'll be excellent.
Oh, my God. That was great. What I love is if TNA gets on tout, since WWE pretty much put the money in.
Yes.
That'll be awesome.
Well, I mean, tout is just, it's a public thing, so anybody can tout, so I don't see why not. If
our
it takes off.
Do you think our tout will be trending worldwide?
Does that happen on tout? I don't know.
How the fuck would I know?
I don't know. Well, you're the tout expert.
Oh, yeah. Obviously. So, yeah, their app doesn't work, folks. Anyways,
I don't know. The app asked us to go to Facebook, and so we logged on to Facebook, and then nothing happened, so we said, okay, fuck it. So we just sit on the computer. So that is...
Let's get to the rest of the week's shit.
That's tout. Okay.
awesome.
Karma. Karma, 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 karma chameleon. You come and go.
You come and go.
So what do you know about karma, Mo?
She's gone.
She is gone?
There appears to be. Everything, unless it's an angle, and it could be, because you'll see guys like... Brock Lesnar in the alumnus page, and basically that's what happens. You got moved to the alumni page in the WWE website, and Brock Lesnar's there too, so it could be an angle. But most likely she is gone. Then again, from her Twitter, she just basically said things like, yes, I'm gone, or, and then somebody else said, well, maybe you'll be back and beat up the Barbie dolls, and she retweeted that, and so it's a little difficult to tell, but
yeah.
It does appear she's gone.
Well,
and
recently, she did mention that she's not taking bookings.
Yes.
So at the time that we record this here, I'm just going on the
roster.
Like I said,
Brock Lesnar is on here. Fucking Sting is in their alumni section. Okay? So
I'm just going to their main dealy
here. The Rock is in both their alumni and their main page.
That's fine.
Karma
is not.
Did I mention Sting is in their alumni section?
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
Well, I wasn't listening.
No,
Karma, not on the main roster.
No, she's in the alumni section. What the fuck am
I know, yeah, but she moved back and forth and back
she
and
moved
forth.
She was put in the alumni.
And then she was put
back.
And then she was
moved there again, all within like an hour.
Okay, well, whatever.
So the Boogeyman's there, you know, like to say Buddy Rose. It's all the big names.
Bushwhackers.
Yeah, Candace,
Bush
Don Marie,
Reed,
David Hart Smith.
Cherry,
Dean Malenko, Doink the Clown.
Demolition.
Druk Droisi. Only one of the Demolition, apparently.
Chris,
the Gobbledygooker.
Chris Benoit.
Nope.
Oh, Dr. Death. I read that wrong.
Goldberg, Goldust, Hurricane,
He was my favorite. Who the fuck was that?
Who?
Oh, Joey Mercury.
Joey Mercury is in there, yeah.
Holy
shit. Yeah, Joey Mercury is in
Kamala.
There.
Kamala.
John Laurinaitis is in there.
There you go. Kara's Karma, right next to
Karma.
King Kong Bundy.
That's right.
What a pairing they make. Right next to Lance Storm.
She looks taller.
Karma, King Kong Bundy, and Lance Storm.
Yeah, and Lex Luger and Kevin Nash on the same page.
Future Hall of Famer Lex Luger.
Yeah.
And then you got all these Elizabeth, Missing Link,
Missing
Papa
Link. Because when I think of WWE, I think the Missing Link.
He was.
Okay, yeah, for 37 seconds. Ranjan Singh is there, right beside Randy Savage.
Fuck, that's wrong. In between ravishing Rick Rude and Randy Savage,
it's Ranjan
fucking
Singh.
Ranjan Singh.
Yeah, the translator slash manager of Great Khali slash brother.
Remember when I just on the tout, I called him cocksuckers? Yeah, he's one of them.
Yeah. He's working creative, so
yeah.
He sucks.
They're
Singh.
Saying, hey,
really right beside Savage.
Singh's on this. Did you know about this?
Oh, Ultimate Warrior isn't, though.
There he is.
Right beside Umaga.
Umanga. And the Shockmaster tugboat there.
Yeah.
Vader. Virgil. Awesome. Zeus.
Zeus is on there.
Oh, the human suplex machine.
Yeah.
Bam Bam Bigelow just added on there. Bill DeMott. Oh, my God. Okay, now we're back at the beginning. That's the alumni section for you. Big Daddy V, by the way, also in the alumni section.
Yeah.
So... holy shit. Anyway.
They had one guy in there. I can't remember who it is, but they had him in there twice under different gimmicks.
Really?
Yeah. I don't remember who it is, but whatever.
The Brooklyn Brawler and Doink?
No, I don't think that was it, no. That's not even that one.
Do you know
somebody
Sting's
else.
On this alumni page?
Really?
Yeah. Anyway, Karma appears to be gone.
Karma's apparently on the alumni page.
Just, yeah. Sting. With Sting, yeah. Right beside King Kong Bundy. But the thing is...
who I'm going for is I'm going as King Kong Bundy for Halloween this year.
You're going to lose some weight? But I... I'm just looking at...
We do this show to make each other laugh. The fact you're listening, a coincidence. We just do this show to make each other... to entertain each other.
Oh, fuck.
Okay.
Willie, go lie the fuck down.
Let's tell that story.
I was just saying.
During the show, his dog is hovering around us and keeps on adding, like, go lie down. I said, he's like, Willie, go lie the fuck down. And he finally does it. And it occurs to me, and he uses profanity so casually and often, that his dog, if you say to him, go lie down, will go, what's that mean? But if you say, go lie the fuck down, he'll go lie the fuck down, he goes, oh! You mean go lie the fuck down? That's what you're saying. Oh, I get you.
Why didn't you just fucking say so? But, yeah, no, that's true. So I just told my dog to lie the fuck down. And he
lie
did.
The fuck down.
And
when you do every time, it makes me laugh.
He did. Because
he fucking does.
Of course
now,
he does.
Now, if you tell him to go lie the cunt down, what will he do?
Huh? He'll go find AJ.
TJ taking over for Dixie?
Maybe,
under
actually.
The cunt,
it's
under
getting
the
there.
Wrestling
it's,
cunt.
Yeah, it's getting there, yeah. I think so.
Oh, shit.
But, so anyway, that's the karma deal.
I really hope those videos aren't on my Facebook.
She comes a week after, she leaves a week after Sarah Del Rey hired by WWE. So now you've got, is it, I mean,
yeah,
who knows?
Maybe
she karma
will someday come back. I doubt it.
I was talking, tweeting back and forth with our friend Steven.
Ajami?
Ajami, who's got his a blog about who the Undertaker should wrestle at WrestleMania 29.
Also, if you guys want to talk about Raw tomorrow, before Raw, and get preview and talk about it and get what you want to talk about, Money in the Bank, get out of your system.
Yeah, he's on blog.
Blogspot Radio.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you listen to him.
Blog
Money,
Talk Radio.
Yeah, Blog Talk. Yeah, Monday Night Steven, he calls it.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah, Monday Night Steven. So go in there and listen to that and talk some wrestling with him. Give him a call.
He's a preview, yeah, for Raw and Money in the Bank. He's going to hopefully be on next week. We're going to try to get him on.
And we need probably another couple other people for our round table. So, you know, Mo at We Talk Wrestling or Mo _ We Talk.
It's actually Mo at We Talk Podcast.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Mo at We Talk Podcast, yeah. Or Mo _ We Talk.
I don't know why I even do this. But,
That's M-O, no E.
Yeah, no E.
Big E?
Big E Langston.
Let's talk about
it. Debuting on NXT. Well, let's just go and finish with Karma here.
Oh, shit.
Karma's leaving. Well, as I said, the whole reason we still brought up Steven was because Steven and I were tweeting back and forth, and basically his whole view on it was, didn't get to know you, so I don't really care.
Yeah,
was the sort of thing, and really that's what it is. Is it's lost possibilities.
It really is
what it comes down to. But again, at the same time here with his in and out and in and out, people getting upset. You know, there was, you know, well, we want Karma, blah blah. Well, you know what? At this point, we don't know why she's been released.
No,
she may have asked.
Yeah,
right. It may be a situation where she's,
I believe newly married.
I don't know what the deal is with that.
Is.
It was married with baby or whatever happened with the miscarriage and such, but maybe they're going to try again, and maybe they just don't want to...
I think she is recently married.
Yeah, and they just don't want to risk the bumps that it takes,
exactly.
Right?
And you know what else? From everything I could tell about her, she is extremely talented and charismatic and a head case. She really is coming across that way to me. So, you know, maybe they just decide they don't need the hassle.
Well, there's that too. I mean, who knows, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's many possibilities. So until we hear conclusive, I'll sort of wait to weigh in. I just said, but I do call it lost possibilities, and that, you know, it's too bad of what could have been, right? I mean, when we talk about her against Bass, and then just it would have given a different dynamic to the women's division that they haven't had, for a while. So just somebody new is basically not your cookie cutter Barbie doll, as she was beating up Barbie dolls, ironically, you know, that would come in, or Beth.
Yeah.
So, that's Karma. But yeah, the NXT, from Full Sail University, they did their next round of tapings.
Okay.
It was Thursday because they were taping the same day that we get the show up here on the Score in Canada. I put a review up because I was off work for a week and I watched and I thought, you know what, I'll write this because it's only an hour show. I have great respect for those people that recap, you know, Raw or SmackDown or
especially
Impact.
When it's 3 hours.
Oh God, because I mean, and I can see why Todd Martin doesn't want to do it when it goes to 3 hours and it's that much shit.
Sucks.
Well, there's not much, but I mean, just the time it took me to write out an hour.
Yeah.
Worth of it's
42
minutes.
And that's what showed
up,
40,000 vignettes and everything. Too.
Exactly, right?
Backstage
so.
Segments, look crazy, and all this shit.
Yeah. So anyway, but they taped that. They're debuting.
That said, if anybody is interested in writing a recap of Raw, SmackDown, or Impact for We Talk Wrestling as a regular weekly column, I am Mo at WeTalkPodcast.com.
You are.
Or Mo _ We Talk.
Yeah,
as I said earlier.
On Twitter. You never clarified.
M-O, no E.
Really?
Yeah, huh. On Twitter. And you can reach me on tout at... No, you can't fucking do that.
Yeah, tout us.
Actually, it's not on my webpage. Actually, is it? You log in under...
We Talk Wrestling.
We Talk Wrestling.
I knew that the whole time. I was just
the whole time I'm flipping out.
I just let you suffer.
You are son of a bitch.
I know. You leave my mom out.
We have a We Talk Wrestling website and a Facebook. Dave Meltzer came on there.
He did, apparently. Nice of him to stop by. NXT title tournament.
Yes.
That was announced or happened at the Full Sail University tapings. A couple notes, I guess, a team that I really like, the Ascension.
Yeah.
Lost to the Usos via disqualification.
They beat them earlier, so, a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, they had beat them, and so just via the disqualification, so that was good.
Big dog lying the fuck down.
I know.
Look at that.
He's good,
impressive.
Yeah. He is. He's a good dog, I told you. The debut of Big E Langston.
Yeah.
Speaking of E, is where we went with this. Big E Langston, the guy that could bench 9,000 pounds on the John Cena Rock video promo thing, that's obviously a juice monkey that will go absolutely nowhere in the company, a la Ezekiel Jackson or Mason Ryan, but here we are again with another chance. Well, yeah, but Ryback at least was a... I don't put Ryback in that category.
Here's the thing about Ryback. How many guys have we seen?
Four.
Who have... How many guys have we seen who they've said, oh, he doesn't know how to get over, and they released after having way less face time than Ryback is getting and getting equal reaction?
Oh, sure.
Guys like Colt Cabana, guys like that, who they want, oh, he doesn't know how to get over.
Oh, David Hart Smith,
exactly, who had less face time than what he's gotten here.
Yeah.
He's gotten so much face time.
Right.
I mean, the amount of face time compared to the reaction, usually at this point they already would have given up on the guy.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I just don't put him in that same... A giant muscle category. He's a roid freak, no doubt. But
no shit.
He's not.
That is our most. That's how most people find our website through Google.
I know.
By searching Ryback steroids.
Yes. But the thing is, I just look at these big puffy super guys. Like, listen, like a Mason Ryan or a Zeke. That's who Big E Langston reminds me of.
Well, Mason Ryan has more of the Batista build.
Yeah, okay.
You're right. He has a build like the puppy, yeah, you're right, like Ezekiel Jackson. Maybe they'll make a great tag team.
Maybe. Yeah, I mean, hey, why not, right? I mean, as I said, I don't have a problem with, I mean, my idea when I was doing the tag team thing a couple months ago was to put Zeke and Mason Ryan together.
Yeah.
And be just the big...
Shitty team.
Shitty, but the power team.
Yeah, the power
right?
of the name.
Yeah, exactly, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Why not? So... if you're going to hold them on the roster, you might as well do that with them, right?
Yeah, well, it's better than what they're fucking
right?
doing.
Well, exactly, right?
Exactly.
So, but anyway, we've had the title tournament that had, was Richie Steamboat and Leo Kruger had a match, and I believe Richie Steamboat advanced in that one. I'm just trying to pull up
I don't see anything in Richie Steamboat.
Results. I see Ricky.
I don't. I don't.
Just his facial expressions. But, just...
You're looking it up right now?
Yeah. But I don't know. To me, it's just a matter of... he's kind of got a little bit of a baby face. Feel to him, but
he does.
I mean,
he's a guy who would be great in the independents.
Yeah, I mean, but Ricky and Richie Steamboat did beat Leo Kruger. They did a pull apart backstage brawl on the NXT episode that I had seen.
Yeah,
and then there was a squash match with Big E Langston, and then this must be these spoilers actually must be coming for this coming. Week.
Likely because, for this is coming week, yeah.
Because Raquel Diaz beats Audrey Marie, and Raquel Diaz unveiling, there was a vignette for her unveiling. She is going on the Ugliness Exfoliation Tour. Ridding the world of ugly people is her goal in life, because she's beautiful. And so that's her deal.
I'll give her your address.
Yes, I will bang her. And
I'll fuck the beautiful right out of here.
Right. Oh, that ASA. But Seth Rollins beats...
Now, isn't she... Who?
She She's Eddie and Vicky's daughter.
She is, yeah, I thought so.
Shaw Guerrero.
Okay looking. She wasn't that hot. She's not, like, insane.
No, but she's all right looking, all right. So that's fine. Seth Rollins beats Drew McIntyre and another...
Are you sure it wasn't CM Punk beating Drew McIntyre?
No, Seth Rollins.
Are you sure that it's not CM Punk again?
Yes.
Like, that's the problem with him. That's what I see when I see him right now. Gimmick, look, style, everything screams CM Punk. And he won't make it to the main roster as long as he looks and acts so much like CM Punk. He's got to find his own look and own gimmick.
Yeah, I mean, he can worry. He's got more of a, he's got the hair, right? He's got the long hair that he thrashes back and forth. And he does a little bit of, he does more dancing than, I said than Punk because I've never seen Punk dance. But, I mean,
he's a hard rock guy with a little bit longer hair, but not that long. It, like what CM Punk looked like when he first debuted. And CM Punk has always had the punk rock gimmick sort of there as well.
Well, his name is Punk, and that's about it.
No, that's not about it. His music originally was more punk style music. And he would list his favorite bands on his blogs and websites, shit, and all that stuff. So it's just the point being.
He lists his favorite bands on his shit.
But they're all punk bands. So the point being, though, that Rollins really.
You know
Rollins
that.
Rollins isn't 100% CM Punk.
No.
But to look at him, and I guarantee you a casual fan look at him, would think he's 80 to 90% CM Punk. He needs to find his own stuff.
Well, maybe he will. I mean, again, he's
not. People keep asking why hasn't he gone up when he's so talented, and he is.
Mm-hmm.
This is why. This is the problem he has.
Oh, I don't think that's the problem.
That's
because
a big deal of it.
It's not, because he doesn't look anything like CM Punk now. And
yeah, he still does.
I don't think
his build is almost the exact same. His height is almost the exact same. He's a little taller.
Oh, right, okay. Well, that's
his
true.
His style
that's
is very
true.
Similar.
Well, the next, the other one is, and so that was episode one, is it the title
the
tournament.
The
and then you had Michael McGillicuddy beating Justin Gabriel in a tournament match.
Same.
Now, Cassius Ohno beats CJ Parker in another
looks
match.
Like he doesn't sleep.
See, now, Cassius Ohno also...
He has some tattoos.
He's got a while to get up on the roster, Cassius Ohno, because he's also 6 feet.
Oh.
And so anybody that's 6 feet like CM Punk, they're going to have to grow or they're going to have to shrink, and then they can get moved up, right?
Yeah,
so
that's it. So if you're 6 feet with the exact same build and the exact same skin tone and the exact same, exact same style of trunks, the exact same look. I'm sorry. It just is. I mean, Bo Rotunda is probably that same height too, but he doesn't look anything like CM Punk.
But he has long hair like CM Punk used to. So that's not
his hair's longer than CM Punk's used to be.
But,
it's a different look.
But
it's a different body
but
type.
But it's long hair, so he's going to have to change that and get his own thing.
He probably will have to change his long hair, because I don't think there's a single guy in the WWE with long hair.
Well, there are a few, but not.
Really? Give me one.
Drew McIntyre.
Okay, there's one.
There
me
you
too.
Go. See, he told me to give you one, so I did. Drew McIntyre.
Me too.
Done. Who else has long hair?
Dolph Ziggler, sort of count.
I was going to say Dolph Ziggler.
Sort of. They made him shave that once, cut that once.
Yeah, remember that? That was horrible.
Yep.
That was horrible. But AJ has long hair.
Beth Phoenix.
Tamina.
Rosa Mendez.
The Usos.
Okay, the Usos. I'll give you that.
Okay.
Because they're savages. Yep. Of course they have long
Tyler
hair.
Tyler Rex.
Okay.
Kurt Hawkins.
Yeah. Superstars all.
All of them.
Fuck, get on with it.
Okay, I'm trying. Jinder Mahal beat Bo Dallas. Now, the thing is, I don't think that's what's going to inhibit.
Great Khali has long hair.
Anyway, does he? Yeah, he does. It's true. Kane.
Fuck. I hate that mask. Let's go. I got to get to work in the morning. It's the first day of my new job.
That's true. So anyway, then I'm just going through the title tournament, basically. Jinder Mahal beat Richie Steamboat, and Seth Rollins beat Michael McGillicuddy. So, the finals are Jinder versus, Jinder Mahal and Seth Rollins are the finals of the NXT, title tournament. So,
okay.
That's going to get done at the next set of tapings after, I guess they'll be done sometime in, August, I guess, because they've taped 3 episodes.
Now, I imagine the ratings for this aren't very good because they taped them.
That's just it, right? These spoilers get out, and
and then people don't watch NXT.
That's right. Well, that's the reason.
Is there any truth to the idea that the Miz was simply added to that one match to catch everybody in the Money in the Bank?
Well, he was, he was not everybody, just Big Show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so, actually, the reason nobody watches NXT, because we actually, remember we tweeted this question out and asked everybody that follows us on @WeTalkWrestling to tweet back, and I got about 20, 30 responses on this. So why aren't you watching NXT? And everybody, to a man or to a woman, every single result was because Seth Rollins looks too much like CM Punk. Everybody said that.
Well, you know what? They're right.
So there
they're
you
right.
go. See?
Yeah. They're right.
Cut his hair, I think someone said.
Yeah.
Another guy said, I wish...
Yeah, you don't have to cut a hair. You can have your own look, though.
And another person said...
Different type of tights instead of the short trunk.
I wish he would shrink.
Fuck.
Someone said, I wish he would shrink.
Different fucking prick. Fuck.
Raw 1000. We're 8 days away. You don't care at all?
I care that it's now going to be 3 hours after watch.
I'm looking forward to
it. That show will be good. But
I am. That's
the fallout of it being 3 hours going forward will not be worth it.
I don't know. I said if they don't shape up, then I'll have 3 hours or 2 hours extra.
I got to watch
every Monday.
Right? Yeah. The Olympics are coming up, and I won't be watching that. So that'll give me some more free time.
You got the Olympics, you got the America's Got Talent, you've got the, will America's Got Talent be on during the Olympics? Because they're both on NBC.
No, they
right?
won't be.
So
that'll be some free time when I won't be watching the Olympics, waiting for America's Got Talent to come back.
And then I've got,
Monday Night Football
like,
will be on sometime.
Well, that's not until September, right?
Yeah, but that'll be good.
Yeah, that'll be good. Then you got, I like Hell's Kitchen, which is a good show there.
Yeah, Hell's Kitchen.
But anyway, it's,
all the uncensored ones are on YouTube.
We got Rock.
So I personally am offended by the language.
Fuck yeah. Rock's tweeting that he's going after the WWE title.
Yeah.
A Raw 1000. So, or going to continue.
So is that why Cena's going to win it? SummerSlam?
Set up Cena Rock 2, this time for the belt?
Yeah, this time for
at
the
Mania.
Belt. With AJ and somebody, whose corner will AJ be in?
Yes.
They're both single now. They both divorced their wives.
That's true. Well, Rock's been single for a while, so... Yeah.
I know, but he's been busy seeing his mom.
That's true. Well, that's true. She can barely walk.
Poor woman can barely fucking walk.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, AJ could. Do the eyebrow and such. Yeah.
Yeah.
I see it.
AJ. I won't want to watch it. I won't want to see it. But I see it.
But no, I mean, if they are going to do a rematch at WrestleMania, who knows what the plan is at this point, but then that would be the way to amp it up, would be for the title.
Yeah.
You know, and Cena defends the title against...
Successful.
Exactly, right?
Yeah.
And then they're 1-1, right?
Yeah, so exactly.
Although that said, I mean, The Rock does need to, if he's going to do it, why not have The Rock... I guess he didn't have to win it just because he said, but, probably will.
Probably will, because he's a Rock.
So, yeah. But, that's all I got for Raw. And you got anything WWE-related?
Nope, let's move on to Impact.
Impact. Well...
First show all coming out of...
Before we get to Impact, I did want to talk a little bit about... I guess it does have to involve WWE a little bit, because it involves the WWE Hall of Famer.
Yes.
Gerald Briscoe.
Yes.
Kurt Angle
mm-hmm.
Was receiving an award at the, the Lou Fez Danny Hodge Award or something at the Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame.
Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame, okay.
And pulled out at the last minute from attending.
Yeah.
Citing TNA commitments.
Mm-hmm.
Where he wasn't actually booked for TNA. And so, with Kurt Angle not there in attendance to accept his award,
mm-hmm.
Gerald Briscoe auctioned it off for $250.
Nice.
To someone, yes. Gerald Briscoe, partly native, so I'm assuming he kept the money. But
you want me to edit that out?
No.
Fuck's sake.
Come on. Natives don't have computers. Kurt Angle upset about this.
Fuck.
Kurt Angle is...
Fuck you!
You seem as upset as Kurt Angle is about this.
Go on.
Kurt Angle was very upset that he really, really wanted to attend this, but commitment. He had commitments dealing with his wedding that would not allow him to attend the ceremony. So he was very upset that he didn't think that was a very classy move at all by Gerald Briscoe. He's very, very upset about this. So,
okay.
Do you have any thoughts?
None whatsoever.
Really?
None.
Huh. All right.
Do you?
Hmm?
Do you?
No, I just wanted to know how he would do that.
Fucking move on.
Impact.
Yeah.
Impact.
Hey, how was that?
Impact was just, it was on fire, I tell you.
House on fire, or was that Jeff Hardy?
That was Jack. But I think that Impact, another good show, again, best show of the week, by far. Just what were your thoughts on Impact?
I can see some things they need to improve, don't get me wrong.
Oh, sure.
It's not like I'm sitting there going, this is a perfect show. I mean, there's definitely flaws. But for overall execution and enjoyment, this is the most must-watch wrestling show I've had in probably a decade or more right now.
A decade or more?
Probably since the SmackDown 6, whenever that was.
When was that? That
2002
was
2002 or so, right?
2000. I think it was after 2000. Maybe it was late 2. It could have been late 2002. Yeah. That could have been. Yeah, SmackDown 6 was the 2000. Was that 2002 or 2003?
Yeah.
I don't even really.
Edge and Ray, Benoit, and Angle, and.
Well, what WrestleMania is this?
Who are the other two? I can't even remember.
What?
It was Angle and Benoit. Edge and Ray. And
Guerreros.
The Guerreros, that's it.
Yeah.
And Paul Heyman booking.
Mm-hmm.
And it was great. It was better than Impact. But Impact is not that far off. And it's, like I say, the best television show since then. Consistently here over the last few weeks. And it's, you know, like I say, there's things that can improve, but it's really terrific. And, again, feud of the year for me, Bully Ray and Joseph Park opened, and I loved it.
Yes, it took another twist.
Yeah,
where as soon as Joseph Park saw the blood
on his face, yeah,
stared at his hands, a la Bob Backlund.
Yeah,
and
hit the black hole slam, making you wonder if maybe he has a dual personality, a little Mick Foley thing going on here.
Yeah, well, I don't even know if it's making you wonder. It's kind of I would go so far as to say that is the case.
Yeah, exactly.
Because he. Snapped out of it.
Yeah.
After looking, well, where the hell am I? What did I do?
Exactly.
And the crowd.
Your crowd was great.
That was you.
Yeah.
So.
Tremendous. So many things. There's little things between these two guys. There's so many little things where they get their character. Like the way Joseph Park runs the ropes like he doesn't know how.
Yeah.
When I've seen him run the ropes properly before in the past,
well,
obviously many times.
At one point, he went to run the ropes, looked back, realized he didn't know how, and just didn't.
Yeah, exactly. Little stuff like that. Or same thing with bullies, just the way he bullies and the way he gets his character and the way he, just the little things. It's just tremendous.
Well, the wonderful thing about Bully Ray is that he's a hell of a performer. He's great at what he's doing.
Uh-huh.
He's over as fuck.
Uh-huh.
And he's not, the key here is that he's not a cool heel. He's not afraid to show his ass.
No. And the other key here is he doesn't look anything like CM Punk.
That's probably what it is.
Yeah.
That's, you know what? That's why James Storm isn't getting the shot.
He looks too much like
he's got long hair.
Yeah. And a beard.
And he's like 6 feet, right?
Yeah.
And he listens to music.
Yeah. when I look at James Storm, I think CM Punk.
He writes stuff on his shit.
We mentioned this before. I mean, TNA, one of the things that really works about them is their heels are heels. They're not trying to be a cool heel.
That's right.
Bobby Roode doesn't try to be a cool heel.
No.
They don't try and create a yes chant or anything like that, right? Like,
no.
You know, it's good stuff.
Well, that's it, right? So, I mean, I thought it was great.
Yeah, it was awesome.
And then you had Sting was back there, so he's back, and he's got the cards or whatever. And
they had a lot of little stuff between Sting and Hogan that the two of them were going to be together out there to take on this Dead Man's Hand, which I assume now is the name of the group.
Well, Aces and Eights, I thought, was what they were going to call it.
Well, I thought it was Dead Man's Hand.
Well, they said aces and eights.
They called them both.
They did. Yeah, I thought we were going with aces and eights, but Dead Man's Hand, it could very well be as
either
well.
One. But this group that attacked Sting earlier, that we haven't seen Sting since, a lot of little stuff between them. A nice little segment where Bischoff's kid and Devon came out instead of defending the title, wanted to have their backs, and they said, no, we got this. And just, it was really well done, and it was the main event of the show. And let me tell you, when that was going on, I was staring at my TV. I'm like, okay, let's see what happens.
Yeah.
I was really wanting to know what the next chapter was.
Yeah.
It really made me care about it.
Yeah.
That's it. They really built that in a wrong, strong way. And I'm sitting there going, I want to know the identities. I knew I wasn't getting it, but I wanted it. And I wanted to see what was going to happen.
And the thing that I like with this is that it's not exactly the same, but to a certain degree, in that, like with UFC, I'll use UFC because they're the monthly pay-per-view trend center or play center right now, right?
Yeah.
And what they have is, I mean, a guy will fight on pay-per-view once a year.
Yeah.
Right? And so they've got, you know, let's just say they've got 12 pay-per-views. There's probably more, but let's just say 12. So they would have, you know, 12 main event fights.
Mm-hmm.
You know, on their pay-per-view events, right? 12 featured fights. I guess sometimes as much as, say, 20 featured fights, really, when they're just now they have two on every show. But really, one main featured fight on every show.
Yeah.
In terms of this, what they're doing now is that they're getting to a point where they're featuring matches each week that are on different storylines. Like this one, even though it was the opener, the featured match was Bully Ray and Joseph Park. You had that. On, you know, next week you're going
to
have.
But they also did it really build up to almost the same level. What was the main event, though, not the final segment? And that was Ken Anderson versus Kurt Angle, and they had a hell of a match.
Yes, but that's true too. But next week we know it's open fight. They're going to have the gut check to do all that stuff, and they're going to have Aries and Rude in a non-title match.
Yeah,
right. And so that's going to be a main match that propels to the pay-per-view.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and so then the following week, I'm sure they'll have another, you know, main match. It'll probably be doing something with the Bound for Glory series, but mm-hmm. two of the leaders, maybe.
Well, here's the thing.
You know what I mean? But they're doing that every week.
And you look at something like this Bully Ray and Joseph
Park
match.
Yeah.
This match, it wasn't like what you see with WWE, where it's like, because I'm looking at this, I'm thinking, it is a little strange. They built it, they had this pay-per-view, Destination X. It's not there, it's on the TV. And you sit there going, well, I wonder why it isn't on pay-per-view, because you think people would pay for this. You think they built this up because people want to pay for it. But the idea is that what they did with it is propelled the storyline. It's not like WWE, where you constantly see the same guys wrestle each other on Raw, and then are asked to pay for them on pay-per-view, because they're trying to fill the matches. The match had a point building to something else. Something came out of it. The match furthered the storyline. WWE matches generally just happen to fill time instead of to fill storylines.
Yeah,
for further storylines.
Well, that's exactly. It wasn't like you said, a blow off match. Something else happened to further the story. And it's something that, I mean, you talk as much as you want about Crash TV and Attitude Era, but it is something that the WWF at the time, in, you know, like that 98-99 year, that's something that they really did do.
Yeah,
was
that absolutely.
They were giving you hot matches to compete with Nitro.
Yeah.
But they weren't, you know, storylines were continued. There was an absolute point to them. There wasn't
these
two guys for seemingly no reason. So,
exactly, which is, I mean, so even with the Bound for Glory series, these two guys are for seemingly no reason. You had Jesse Sorensen's injury, and we talked about that on our previous show, and Zema Ion as the champ. So now you had Dakota Garso cut a 30-second promo right before commercial break saying, look, he's a friend of mine. I've known him for years.
Yeah.
What you did to his neck, that sickened me. But then the fact that you didn't call and the fact that you sat there and congratulated yourself for doing it on the pay-per-view after winning the title sickened me, and I'm going to take it out on your ass.
And then they went to commercial, and then they come back from commercial, and over the time of the commercial break, I was still on. I had no idea who the fuck cut that promo.
Oh, it's Dakota Garso. I knew it the whole time.
Maybe
that's one thing they could improve. But you know what? It was a really good promo.
Oh, I thought it was fine.
It
what happened? I
want to see the match.
And it was fine. But the whole time when he's cutting this promo, I'm like, and you are
Michael Garso, of Dakota.
And then
I call him Michael because I really don't know who the fuck he is either.
I was like,
but still,
I had no idea. And then he come out, and I said, oh, okay. Well, that's fine. I was fine with it. It was
yeah,
just
yeah.
funny that like I had no idea who it was.
But the
it
point
was kind of dark
even
when he cut
match,
that too, right?
This match was a 2-minute match designed to put over the champion, but even that, they built up within the short little time frame.
They gave
gap,
a reason.
They gave a reason for it.
Yeah.
Nothing is without a reason on
no,
this.
No, and that was the thing, right? So
it's really, like I say, it's a stark contrast to WWE. Another thing is, they're away from the sleazy stuff, but they're not afraid to go into the more mature direction. You look at that match, we talk about Bully Ray and Joseph Park. That was a violent match. It had blood. It had thumbtacks and all this.
Yeah.
And you know what? I swear to God, I was watching it going,
don't
if I
swear
had,
to me.
I swear to Addy, I was watching it, and I thought to myself, I'd rather have my kids watch this than Raw. Like, seriously, because it doesn't pander to them, and I think they could associate with a guy like Bully, with Joseph Park being bullied and all this. I think this is a better product for kids.
Hypothetically.
Well. Yeah.
Because you're still not allowed to have kids, right?
Hopefully.
The government?
Ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Program? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Just checking. Rob Van Dam beat Samoa Joe in the Bound for Glory, which is really good because RVD, again, this is evening out the points again.
Yes, exactly.
RVD had 14.
And there was a story again behind it that Joe was too greedy going for the submission.
That's right, that's right. He was trying to get the 10, and then Joe Van Dam turned into a small package.
Yeah, exactly.
And so now he's got 21 points, so put him up in the deal. We saw something, and I haven't heard anybody talking about this. I was telling you this a bit earlier with Claire Lynch.
Mm-hmm.
And when Jason Hervey or whatever they found found her, she was driving into the sound
stage.
Well,
I just want to get onto this because backstage you see all the interviews constantly done.
Yes.
And they have this, it feels like paparazzi who are following their stars,
right?
And it's Jason Hervey?
No, those are fans. Remember Hogan said, follow
you
around.
He was like paparazzi, right? He was running around. But the point being that what they do, because they're not showing the interviewer,
mm-hmm.
they're making the stars the stars. So they're not making Josh Matthews or Todd Grisham. You're not taking away any of the shine from the stars. And that's
right.
Another thing I like.
Yeah.
So anyways, go on. What were you going to say?
They're fans, though. Remember Hogan said, follow the fans around? That was what's going to bring TNA to the next level, brother.
Remember?
So they catch up to Claire Lynch. She's driving into the soundstage, and she's smoking.
Which means that her pregnancy is a work in storyline.
Yes.
Meaning that it's going to come out that she's not really pregnant, and she and Daniels went up to this the whole time, because the revelation was that, indeed, AJ is the father.
I thought revelation was Jake Snake.
Oh, one of them.
Really?
Yeah.
So it's girl on girl?
It is.
AJ is the father.
Yeah.
Nice. But I think that how funny is it that could be the more known AJ in wrestling?
It is the more known AJ.
Yeah, I know. That's funny.
Yeah, AJ Lee is a more bigger known star than AJ Styles.
Yeah, that's kind of funny.
The difference is I like AJ Styles.
I know, but it's still funny.
Yeah, the difference is I'd rather fuck AJ Lee.
That's true. This is true.
Yeah.
But Claire...
Notice I said rather.
Rather, yes. Yeah. No, you'd go with either, but you'd rather.
I would prefer.
Yeah. I mean, if you had to do two out of the three, you know. But and Karma was the third, you'd be going with AJ Styles. But the thing is, Claire Lynch, we can talk a little bit about this again. They didn't talk about the smoking at all. She kind of hid it away. They didn't key in on it. They didn't zoom in it or anything. You know, went and she had it kind of outside of her door. And then when they started kept talking, she kind of put it and tucked it in underneath.
So it's that same tiny details thing.
Yeah.
It's a clue. It's a tiny details and you have to be paying attention. I missed it. You told me about it.
And she's turning heel.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah, and it's obviously going to be a work that she's never been pregnant.
Exactly.
And
so the big reveal
they're setting this up.
AJ is the father.
She's probably the girlfriend or sister or something like that of Daniels that's going to come out.
Exactly, yeah. She's probably sister or something, yeah. And then anyway, she says, I have proof that AJ, you're the father.
Yeah.
Right? So
and then AJ's like, it's impossible. And then all of a sudden he's like, I don't know, maybe, I don't know. So, you know, it's good.
And they kept asking him, and he just goes, I don't
not
know.
Not everybody was good in this, but Daniels was good and AJ was good. Claire Lynch still sucks. But the other two were good. And so and the storyline is good.
I just like the...
Like, as far as it's not... Well, you know what I mean. The storyline is, it works. It's working.
As I said, I mean, I compared this to the Undertaker, Paul Bearer deal in 97.
Yeah.
Right, where they Kane's, oh, he's alive, Undertaker, and everything, yeah. Like that kind of soap opera where they kept revealing shit about Undertaker's family and his past, and it was very soap operatic, but it just, it didn't take away. It may not have been the favorite thing.
It fit in, still.
Yeah, it was just kind of there, and this kind of is just there, right?
Yeah.
And, So I don't hate this at all. I hear some people don't care for it, and I can understand it's not your favorite thing in the world.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't mind it. I'm kind of interested because ultimately, again, when you're talking about AJ Daniels and Kazarian, is where this leads, right?
Yeah.
Is a match again, which is going to be great.
Yeah.
You know, and they're not going to do. And TNA isn't.
It'll be a 2-on-1
match. I have
match.
Faith in TNA that they're not going to make Claire Lynch the referee for a fucking
AJ
Daniels match, right? So.
Exactly. Now, that's it, because it wouldn't make any sense.
That said, I
have to say this, I still do think it was time to end this feud at that pay-per-view after the Last Man Standing. Great match, the babyface beats both heels at the same time, essentially, in a Last Man Standing, overcomes all the odds. I think it should have ended there. I do think that.
Right.
That said, where they're going with it is going to be good.
Well, I mean,
it appears to be good. I don't mind it at all.
I was going to say, the one thing, again, we talk about the crowd when you said, you're the father, AJ, and they immediately went, Jerry,
yeah,
for
yeah.
a Jerry Springer chant. That was pretty funny. And then Lawler come down because he wants to sleep with Claire Lynch's unborn kid still. At least take it to prom.
Yeah, yeah.
But, no, so I thought that was pretty good. Again, you've got the
Dead Man's Hand group. Essentially, let's just go to the touch of the chase here, just at the end.
Yeah, I think we've talked about everything else.
Yeah.
Well, Austin Aries. Let's talk about Austin Aries.
Okay.
Come out to this promo.
He's cutting a great promo, talking about how important this is and how important the X Division title is to get him to this point.
Bobby Roode comes out and just...
He's so mad he can't even speak.
Yeah, and... I thought that went on a little long.
It did go on a little long.
I didn't mind it at first because all I could think of was...
Austin Aries looked like he thought it went on a little long, too.
Yeah, I just...
He looked like he was getting legit perturbed. Like, come on, man. You're killing the segment.
Yeah, I thought of...
But basically, Bobby Roode said, it's a fluke that you beat me.
Yeah, I just thought of Ric Flair.
Yeah.
When he was doing this, like, ah! And he's just screaming and being so... But, I mean, it looked... I don't know. He just looked like he was screaming because he was told, go into the ring and start screaming. He didn't... It looked acted poorly, I thought. It didn't really do it for me. I understand the whole thing. I thought he did better when he was talking to Hogan later.
Oh, yeah, he did
right?
better there.
But I don't know. The Aries part where he cut the promo and did his thing, his first promo as champion, fine. I thought Roode just kind of took it to...
Yeah, it's not great, but I didn't mind it.
I mean, it wrapped up well.
Point.
It wrapped up okay.
It made the point.
Yeah.
He thinks it's a fluke. The other guy says, okay, you want me to believe it's a fluke? I'll beat you again at the next pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
Roode goes back to Hogan and says, I can't wait for the pay-per-view. I want him now. Hogan says, okay, I'll give you a match now, non-title. And he's like, why would I want that? And he says, basically, Hogan says, your chance to prove your rights, that you can beat him, and soften him up.
Yeah.
So it all makes sense.
It does. Then one of my favorite segments that aired, Madison Rayne, talking about why she has a crush on Earl Hebner, because they both keep themselves in peak physical condition. I thought that was funny.
That was funny.
I thought that was funny.
Yeah.
The next match.
Miss Hassmacher and Gail Kim?
No, I thought the next match was Roe versus Wade.
Yeah.
Because of the commentary person.
Yeah.
Was an abortion.
She was terrible.
Yes.
Brooke Hogan came out to do commentary in the title match. And the problem with this was the match was average to below average.
Yeah.
But not.
It was okay.
It's still better than what you see in Diva matches.
Yeah.
It wasn't great. But the commentator spent the whole time talking to Brooke, like, what's it like being Hogan's daughter?
Yeah.
So the focus on the match wasn't there, which is what she should have been there to do. The focus instead was on Brooke, and Brooke, unscripted, without knowing what to say, without understanding the business, even though she says she does, was terrible on commentary and really hurt this segment.
The thing was, to me, on commentary, you had Mike Tenay and Taz doing this.
And their chemistry is really strong right now.
And, yeah, but the thing I look at is, like, if Brooke Hogan come to Calgary, Mm-hmm. And the local, like, Shaw TV, like, you know, the access channel goes to interview Brooke Hogan.
Yeah.
These are the kinds of questions that they would ask.
That's true.
You know, oh, what's it like being Hulk Hogan's daughter, huh? Right, like, that was just like, who the fuck?
Like TNA didn't know that this was going to happen. That's what it felt like.
No, it was like, it's like Taz and TNA had just met her for the first time.
Yeah.
What's it like being Hogan giving honor?
It's like, after this.
Well, it was just
bad.
Stupid.
It was very bad. Yeah,
so,
right.
And anyway.
Hurt
it was,
the match a lot.
Yeah. And then we talked about Kurt Angle.
And she even said in there that a lot of people didn't like me when I came over. Hopefully I'm winning them over now. Like, no. The more you do this, you're not winning them over. This is not going to help.
Yeah.
So.
And then you had Kurt beating Mr. Anderson. Great match.
Terrific match. Those two have terrific chemistry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was a really good... really
I mean,
good,
I did not expect much from it, and I was going to fast-forward through it, and then I ended up watching the whole thing because it was so good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, same with me. I started to fast-forward. I just had to skip on a couple times, and I missed a couple, and then I kept going back, and I said, oh, fuck it, I'm just going to watch the whole thing.
Yeah, something's good, yeah, exactly.
I did that with Sheamus and Jericho on SmackDown on Friday, too. I thought, I'm just going to skip. Oh, no, wait, this is good. So I could, I went back and watched the whole thing, so... this was really good.
That reminds me, Jericho, I was just going to say, we noticed his Titantron tonight.
Right.
Nothing in the suit. Everything, the rock star personality, the smiling, the happy-go-lucky, babyface. Pure babyface. And not pandering babyface like the phony guy that showed up here upon his return.
Right.
Like real babyface.
Well, and in the pre-show, Josh Matthews asked him a question, so what's going to happen tonight?
Yeah.
And he goes, so what's going to happen tonight? He goes, I'm going to win. Dummy. And then he goes, but what's going to happen more importantly than that is I'm gonna win tonight. I'm going to be more than just the best in the world than what I do. And all of the Jericho-holics are going to call me more than just the Ayatollah of rock and roll. So, I mean, he's getting, again, the babyface catchphrases back in, right? So, and I don't know if, again, and the crowd was going Y2J during that promo. And
which is why I was going to say Daniel Bryan versus Y2J was my answer.
Yeah, that works too. Actually, that does. Actually, that's probably but when's Jericho back? Is he going to come? I mean, maybe you do Orton and then go to Jericho.
Yeah, could be. He looks like he's going to go touring some more with Fozzy.
So. Yeah, so he's going to be part time kind of thing, right?
So hopefully, while they're doing that, though, they catch more video on the road, more backstage stuff, kind of documentary. On the road, the fun-loving Jericho rockstar stuff. Use those vignettes to keep him on TV.
Oh,
keep him over and get
over
the new personality. So he's a pure baby face when he comes back.
Yeah, that's true. So. That would be good, yeah.
Yeah, they won't do that.
The next part, no.
That would be good.
No. Instead, they'll have Michael Cole talk about how great Fozzy is and expect you to cheer for him. The next part really flowed very well.
Yeah.
Hogan and Sting were in the back, and they're ready to go out. And
I noticed at the time that there was only like 5-6 minutes left on the show. So I wasn't sure what to happen, but like I said, I was really looking forward to it.
He said, let's do this old school, let's go out there now. And then Bobby Roode comes in
and
demands to talk to Hogan.
Yeah.
And Hogan goes, you know what, Sting, I'll meet you out there, you just give me 5 minutes, brother, and I'm going to deal with this, right? So it set the stage for Sting to leave and go to the ring, and Hogan did his little thing where he said that next week they can have a non-title match because Aries and Roode is at the pay-per-view.
One of the things that I liked was when they're sitting there back there and Sting's saying, I've been in the gym, I'm not 100%, I'm 150%, and Hogan's wrapping his hands and he goes, don't be afraid to throw me that bat, brother.
I just
thought that was like, we know we're undermanned, but we're coming to bring the war, and we got each other's back.
Yeah,
we trust each other.
That's right. So, that was really good. So,
it's a subtle thing.
And he goes in, and of course, then he, the music. Let's bring out Hogan now, and the music plays No Hogan, and the music plays again No Hogan.
Yeah,
I thought, okay, well that means he's being attacked. Well, the music played again. I thought, okay, man, it's one too many times, especially when I'm looking at, like, how much time is left on this show is what I was thinking.
But then they cut to the video in the back.
Yeah, then they cut.
Lying down, bleeding.
Yeah.
Being run off by Brooke Hogan, running up to them, going, get the fuck off him.
Yeah, don't fucking touch me.
No, get the fuck off him.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, yeah.
But then you had, aces and eights there, and they ran away, and it's like Sting is like, holy shit. And he's starting to go back
to help Hogan.
To it, and then all of a sudden more guys attack. And I saw there was some more invested, had cards on them. They might have all had, like,
they all had
the
dead man's hand cards, yeah.
But, so then, I don't know, there was, like, what, like, a total of, like, 15 of them, 12 of them.
Well, it is. I mean, like, six guys jumped Sting, and there was, like, three or four who had Hogan, which would give us 10. But then again, we don't know that those aren't the same, some of the same guys. One of them had, like, a ponytail, like, blonde hair and a slight ponytail up. And other than that, there was nothing physically you could tell because they had masks or whatever on. One guy did have ponytail and just, like, glasses on. You still couldn't tell who it was.
Yeah, another guy was, like, flannel. Yeah. It was, like, a tall... there was a couple of bigger guys. Again,
larger guys is a general
but
rule.
But the thing is...
but it's not a small group. I like that. This feels like a true invasion.
That we
this
know
is,
of.
This is...
Again, who knows? I mean...
Okay, but it's at least six guys.
Well, maybe not. I don't know. It could very well be... Remember...
six guys attack Sting. How can it not be six guys?
Yeah, but I think of like the old Batman movies.
Yeah.
Right? Where like the Joker had his minions of Jokers.
Okay.
Right? That's kind of what I was thinking there. Is that it might doesn't necessarily have to be all those. It's just that those are your your red shirt guys, right?
I see what you're saying.
You know there were. Six main guys on Star Trek, right? But they'd always bring a couple guys along with them to get killed, right?
Yeah.
So that kind of thing.
That's
so
that's true.
That's maybe. So I'm not holding my breath that it's 10 guys or six guys or whoever.
No matter what, though, this feels NWO invasion-ish to me with a bit of a mystery. This is what wrestling's supposed to be. Build something, make the baby faces, and put the baby faces in jeopardy. And
so I guess the big question with this is again, it seems the my question is, are you going to be disappointed when it's Jeff Jarrett?
No, not if it's done right.
No, I'm just curious.
Well, if it's done right, I'll be very into it.
That's where I see this going.
You know what? You're right. But if it's Jeff Jarrett is the leader and these are his minions and he's bringing in these new people to invade to get the power back, I'm fine with that. If
Roadies.
It's done well.
Roadies.
Roadies.
Jeff Jarrett and his roadies.
Sure. Maybe not.
Cheeks.
But no, I know. It could be just fine. And it could be logical. And it could be...
I mean, the only reason
they
I...
They have a lot of goodwill.
The only reason
right
that I saw Jeff Jarrett is because, again, just the, you got run out of the company by Hogan, and Sting is going into the Hall of Fame and not him.
Yeah. So that's perfect.
You know, and that
like
to me
that.
Was...
I never even thought about that, but that's good. I like
so, and it is Bischoff come
so
back.
So he's bringing his fresh blood in. He's bringing in maybe, if he's bringing in MVP and
Luke
and,
Gallows.
And yeah, exactly. And fucking
Cole Cabana.
David Hart Smith. And, yeah, I'm cool with that. I'm very cool with that.
Well, the thing is, and what I look at is if you can do...
This feels to me like something that's going to build ratings and build momentum for the company.
Well, and part of this, and this becomes...
Along with everything else they're doing. That's doing
in a wide sense, and really a byproduct almost, is does this... I look now to, like, we're talking about thinking about outsiders coming in, right? New guys kind of coming in, right? To me, is this a byproduct benefit, then, of Ringka King?
Oh, yes.
Because
absolutely.
When you talk about your Chris Masters and your David Hart Smiths and these guys that are there, that were in that kind of company that could come in now with that association, and they've got, Borash can bring in. I mean, not that these guys don't want to come. Hell, anybody that's watching the program wants to jump on now, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I could definitely see that, but that's what I look towards now is we're talking about outside guys. Yeah, you're MVPs, but I'm also looking at, like, who is in that Ringka King deal that could come over and do
absolutely.
It. So, I know, you're right. I think that...
I mean, that's why Sanjay Dutt's, I'm sure, back, right?
I was going to say, yeah, Sanjay's a perfect example of that. So,
really good stuff.
Sanjay Dutt, was he not there, though, for... He was a byproduct of All Wheels Wrestling. Come on.
All right, let's get the hell out of here.
I think Aaron Aguilera,
don't
right?
Watch TNA. If you only have time to watch one show,
make it TNA.
It's Impact. And if you're not able to watch it on DirecTV, I'm not sure what the deal is with that now.
It's not settled yet, no.
So, yeah, YouTube, folks. YouTube.
I'm also thinking Aaron Aguilera because he's got that history of jumping guys.
There you go.
Right, see? So Pat Patterson as well. But one other thing that we wanted to do... is we had gotten an email.
We're going to have Wade on next week.
Yes, we'll have Wade on next week.
You want to read this week? We can wait 1 week. It's an hour and 40 minutes in. I got to go.
Yeah, it seems that way. It seems that way. Okay.
Yeah, I got to
shift. So let's do that. So,
yes,
so we talked about Mo at WeTalkPodcast.com is your email, at Mo underscore WeTalk is your Twitter handle. WeTalkWrestling.com, the website with all the wonderful blogs. We've got things going and coming up. Addie, A-D-D-I-E, at WeTalkWrestling.com will get you to me. So we're Stitcher, iTunes, Facebook page as well. So
yeah,
all that.
You got everything. We're OET.
Yeah. So all right. So in the meantime and in between time, that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks.